Luke,
Ben,
you will listen to the Wampa's Lair podcast.
Podcast?
There you will hear your hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, as they discuss all things Star Wars. So join the conversation and hang out. Oh, and watch out for Wampas.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This is episode number 185, Phoenix Comic Con Panel. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and I am with you by myself this episode. Carl had his fun last week. I gave my fun this week. This week, I am just going to be here to introduce and to wrap up for a panel that I was able to be on at Phoenix Comic Con 2016 this past weekend. Phoenix Comic Con was a lot of fun, and I had a blast. As usual, it's my fourth year in a row. This year, again, I was on a panel with Kyle Avery, Kyle Baca, to some of you, and Joey Letson, who's been on the show a couple of times and is a frequent contributor on our social media outlets, and is also responsible for the newest iteration of our theme, our introduction here. This panel, we talked about unanswered questions from The Force Awakens, so you may hear some familiar topics being discussed, and then we also started looking ahead as to what's coming up next for Star Wars. You know, obviously we have Rogue One and Episode 8 on the horizon, and, you know, what we know and what we're looking forward to with that sort of thing. Real quick, before we jump into the panel, I just want to give you a quick update on Phoenix Comic Con itself. It was amazing. There weren't really any Star Wars guests this year, so we had a huge crowd for our panel. This was Friday morning at 10:30 a.m., which is the first panels of the day start at 10:30 a.m. We were in one of the largest panel rooms for any fan-run panel. There were a couple of rooms that were this size, and they were the biggest ones that I'm aware of that did not involve a celebrity of some sort. And we had the room about at least three-quarters of the way full, which was amazing. The turnout, if you came out and checked out our panel, thank you so much for that. We appreciate the support. Phoenix Comic Con was packed this year. The number I'm hearing tossed out there as far as how many people showed up is 85,000 people, which is the biggest turnout ever at Phoenix Comic Con. The staff has been very good with us, and the convention was run very well. There was a little bit of a hiccup. They had some of the systems went down on Friday for their registration check-in, and the line ended up getting rather large. But other than that, registration and panels all went very well for the convention, and our panel was no exception. It went very well. As I said, big turnout, especially for 10:30 in the morning, which we are very thankful for everybody who came out to check out the panel. Now, without any further ado, I'm going to go ahead and turn it on over to the panel, and I will be back to close out this episode when that's finished.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is 10:31, and that means we got to get going, because we're already a minute late.
Oh, no!
Well, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, to Saturday, Phoenix Comic Con!
It's Friday.
Oh. Welcome to Friday, Phoenix Comic Con!
Woo! And thank you for... And thank you for coming out for the first panel of the day, which is us, which is, of course, the best one.
Yeah. You can go home after this, yeah.
Right.
No, but the last time we did a Star Wars panel at 10:30, we had about maybe the first three rows that many people. So glad so many more of you came out this time to hear us talk Star Wars.
Yes. Now, let's go ahead and I'm going to introduce our panel right here. Joining me next to me is Jason Hunt from the Wampa's Lair podcast. And right over there, Kyle Avery from Star Wars, The Saga Continues. And I am Joey Letson. I am a huge Star Wars fan, but I don't have a Star Wars podcast. I actually just started an Animaniacs podcast. So, hello, there you go. Hello, nurse. If you're an Animaniacs fan, check it out, Animaniacast. on iTunes, just search for Animaniacast, you'll find it.
It went up this week.
Yes.
So we're very proud.
Oh, thank you. Anyway, so ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be talking about many different things about The Force Awakens, but also about Rogue One, Episode 8, the future of Star Wars. Like Kyle says in the intro to your podcast, Kyle, the future is bright when it comes to Star Wars.
It is.
Blindingly bright, but...
Yes. Because we have a Star Wars movie coming out every year, I would say, pretty much for the foreseeable future.
Right. So we have no idea when that will actually end.
So we have quite a bit to talk about today, and we're going to have to try to condense it to about an hour. It's going to be kind of difficult for us because we usually have conversations about Star Wars that last about 3 hours on average. So we're gonna try to keep it as tight as possible. That being said, every now and then we will have a couple times during the panel where if you have any questions, any theories, any things like that, feel free to go over to the microphone in a little bit that we have set up.
And we'll let you know when that time is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All we do is just keep asking, you know, you keep your theories and your questions as quick and tight as possible. We don't need a whole thesis on your Star Wars theories because we want to make sure we get as many people in as possible. So just keep that in mind. All right. Well, are we ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So let's do this thing. So first and foremost, one of the biggest questions that we had leaving The Force Awakens: Who are Rey's parents? Who are Rey's parents? Now, many people going in. And I know, Kyle, you had this theory that many people shared it, was that Han Solo was her father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have bet money on that.
Yes. So would I.
Turned out not to be true, obviously. Well, maybe not 100%, but pretty sure at this point that that's not the case.
Yeah, and
that would be really weird if it was.
She is. Daisy Ridley is later has since come out like in just various interviews and has basically said, you know, well, we all know now that, you know, Han isn't my dad in the movie, and so it's kind of debunked that. Most people, or at least many people, left the theater believing that Luke Skywalker was her father. So there's kind of mixed messages going on when it comes to the possibility of Luke being her father. Gentlemen, what do you have to say about this stuff?
The thing is there's no real solid, concrete idea either way. There's a lot of hints and a lot of coincidence or will of the Force that could say that yes, Rey and Luke are related, and it would make perfect sense in the Star Wars sense if they were related, but there's nothing to say one way or another that is actually the case. Obviously, the lightsaber passed down from father to son to daughter makes perfect sense, especially in Star Wars. The lightsaber is sort of this rite of passage that gets passed down from one generation to the next. And so now that it is Rey's, although she's kind of giving it back to Luke at this point, at the end, trying to anyways, he's just sort of looking at her like, and we don't know if he actually takes it, but, you know, that's a pretty good, you know, indication that perhaps they're related, but there's nothing concrete. And so it could just be Rey is Rey. Mm-hmm. we have no idea who her parents are, and we'll find out later. Who knows? What about you, Kyle?
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. I think that's probably the strongest possibility right now, based on the characters that we know, the information that we have. It seems like if she is related to any characters that we know, it's most likely Luke Skywalker. Like you said, the lightsaber is probably the biggest evidence in support of that. The fact that not only does she have it, but that it sort of called out to her through the Force. She had she touched it and had a vision of Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader and all this stuff that happened before, and then, you know, we get brief teases of, you know, things that happened between episodes 6 and 7 that also seem to involve Luke Skywalker. So, you would think it could just be something where she is like, you know, there's like no more Jedi out there right now, and she's the first one to sort of ignite the spark again, so the Force is sort of telling her, like, hey, here's the history of this lightsaber, now you need to go find Luke. But I think at least to me, it would make more sense that they're related. And have that stronger connection there. But then there are some... It's funny, because there are, like, little things in the movie that make me keep tipping one way or the other. Like, when Finn first tells her that BB-8 has a map to Luke Skywalker, and she goes, Luke Skywalker, I thought he was a myth. And it's like, well...
If they're related...
If Luke is her dad, how could she never have heard of him? I mean, maybe she didn't realize that her dad was this powerful Jedi, but, like... I mean, from the...
Then that opens up so many other questions. Yeah. And we're not really sure we want to think of Luke as a bad parent.
Well, no. That's kind of... Kyle, you mentioned the vision right there with Rey as a child. So let's go ahead and bring up the shot right here as you see Rey being held by Simon Pegg's... I'm sorry, Carl Plutz's greasy hands.
One quarter portion.
Luke does not seem like the kind of father. I mean, we would hate to think that Luke would A, abandon his child, and B, leave him with such a horrible alien.
Like Ankar Plex.
Yes, mm-hmm. Or Simon Pegg, for that matter. I don't think your child would have either. But so this kind of raises some questions about who exactly left her. Now, in the shot, she sees a ship going away. And actually, some people have thought, well, this is very similar to Luke Skywalker's shuttle from the old Marvel series from the 1980s. Yes, there were some people who believe that. However, it doesn't really seem like that is the ship, because Pablo Hidalgo, who's the head of one of the heads of the story group at Lucasfilm, said, well, here's what the ship design is, actually. So it actually does not look like Luke Skywalker's shuttle quite at all. In fact, if anything, I would say that this is more like a Greyhound bus-ish kind of starship, if you were going to go like that, and they were just kind of dropped off on a junkyard planet, essentially. So the question is, if Luke didn't drop her off, or maybe her parents didn't drop her off, did someone else drop her off? Is it possible that maybe... Kylo Ren perhaps dropped her off on Jakku?
Well, he does respond rather violently when he's told that, you know, the traitor and the droid were assisted by a girl.
What girl?
You know. And he's not very pleased about that, so he may have some idea, but there's some other stuff that may contradict that.
Yes.
Well, and we'll get to that in a second.
We'll get to that second. I do think that the possibility of Kylo or some sort of dark side-ish person maybe leaving her there to get out of the way would make sense in some ways, because, you know, if you were to say, like, oh, she doesn't know who Luke Skywalker is, well, Kylo has the ability to kind of get into people's brains and turn off a switch, you know, and that doesn't seem too far-fetched in the Star Wars universe to say, forget this.
Ooh. But see, the other thing I was going to say about...
Sorry!
the other thing I was going to mention about that, though, I mean, she seems to not know who Luke Skywalker is, but then also when she meets BB-8 and she says, you know, where do you come from or whatever, and he beeps and she says, oh, classified, really, me too, big secret. So it's like, how much of her supposed, you know, ignorance about Luke and the Jedi and her history and her parents and stuff, like, how much of it is her not knowing stuff and how much of it is her trying to keep a secret?
Yeah, and some of it, she knows that she needs to get to Luke. Because with Maz saying, dear child, I see your eyes. You already know the truth. Whomever you're waiting for on Jakku, they're never coming back. But there's someone who still could. And she says, Luke. Maz says, the belonging you seek is not behind you, it is ahead. So right there, like, you know, that idea of Luke, she has his connection to Luke somehow.
You're right. Plus, we, you know, when Kylo Ren is interrogating her and reading her mind, he says, you know, I see, you know, I know you've been dreaming at night, and I see the island. And then, of course, by the end of the movie, we see she goes to an island to find Luke, and it's like, oh, she's been dreaming about this place.
Yeah, yeah. We shall see.
And is that just, you know, premonitions? Or is that actually, you know, relational clues? You know?
Well,
but
Rey,
we don't know.
Yeah, Rey sees a lot of stuff in her vision. Not all that stuff is necessarily stuff that she was actually directly there. For example, the first thing that she sees when she touches that lightsaber?
Cloud City.
Cloud City. She was not in Cloud City.
Wasn't even born.
No, I hope, yes. Not that we know of, right? No, she wasn't. She's approximately 18 or 19 in this film. Some people look at the particular scene with the massacre of the Jedi. Okay? And Rey, at one point in this vision, looks up to see a figure above her and who gets then impaled by Kylo Ren. And then she looks and there's Kylo Ren standing there with the Knights of Ren in the rain with what we are to assume are Jedi laying everywhere. And a lot of people assume, you know, well, it was, you know, out on the internets that the interwebs of all those tubes and stuff, that she was there at perhaps the academy when she was a young girl, 5 or 6, and then was not killed by Kylo, but then put on Jakku and mind wiped and yada, yada, yada. However, that doesn't quite make sense anymore.
Because of a certain book that just came out.
Yeah. Bloodline just came out. And I'm not going to spoil anything Bloodline. It's a great book.
It's fantastic.
It's really great. If you missed out on any politics and you're like, I wish I could know more about what the heck is going on with the New Republic and the Resistance and the formation of the First Order, I highly suggest you check out this book. It just came out recently. But in this book takes place approximately 5 or 6 years.
6 years.
Is that supposed to be canon?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. This is totally canon. And in fact,
all the new books and stuff coming out nowadays are.
They are considered, for better or for worse, everything from, you know, like, hey, I got some of the new Marvel comics here. These are considered on the same level of canon as the movies. At least the story group considers it that way. So anyway, this takes place 5 to 6 years before The Force Awakens, right when the First Order is just about starting and the Resistance is just about starting. And Kylo Ren
is still off with Luke training.
Yes, and Ben. He is known as Ben. So Rey would be approximately 12 or 13 during this book and is not mentioned.
At all.
Just a little thing to keep in mind. So that idea that she was there at the Jedi Temple at 5 or 6... saw the massacre Jedi, etc., etc., probably doesn't hold up.
Not anymore.
Because, at least not anymore. So we're learning additional things as we go forward. But again, Bloodline, highly suggest you pick that up.
Before we move on, you wanted to talk about the Knights of Ren, correct?
Oh, yes. Also,
and considering you are Kylo.
Well, yes. Yeah. I mean, that's just another... I mean, obviously, that was a, well, cool scene in the movie, but brief. But I just thought, you know, the designs of those characters were really cool and everything. You know, we got a brief glimpse of them in one of the trailers, and I was like, oh, man, I can't wait to find out more about these guys. And then in the movie, there's nothing. There's, you know, like a two-second shot during the vision. And Supreme Leader Snoke, when he's talking to Kylo Ren, addresses him as, you know, even you, Master of the Knights of Ren. That's all the information we have, is that Kylo Ren is the master of some group called the Knights of Ren. We do know that the name Ren is, like, part of a title, kind of like Darth. Like, I mean, obviously now we know his name's Ben Solo. Spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen Force Awakens, but I don't know why you're here if you haven't.
Yeah, please leave. I love you, but go.
Go watch the movie.
Yeah, go watch the movie.
It's a whole lot better than us, trust me.
So, so we know it's this group. They take on a new name with Ren in the title somewhere, and we know there are a bunch of other masked, armored warriors who seemingly do not have lightsabers. So, you know, maybe this is just some group of, like, Jedi hunters. Maybe they're professional, you know, assassins or bounty hunters or whatever, and they just
And they are at the employ of Snoke in the First Order.
Yeah, and then Kylo decided to join them and was like, hey, I've got force powers and a lightsaber, so I can kill more Jedi than the rest of you. Can I be your leader? leader? And they're like, yeah, sure. Or maybe he banded the group together. I don't know. But
there's some cool info, just little bits of info about Kylo Ren in the visual dictionary right here, and also in the character encyclopedia as well that came out. That just as a quick reference, if you're interested in learning a little hints of Kylo Ren, he apparently is encouraged to use kind of both light and dark side abilities by Snoke, according to the book, which is kind of an interesting thing. There's a lot of interesting stuff with Kylo. He's obviously a very tormented person, which is why we love him so much.
He needs medication. Being torn apart.
A guy needs medication, I think. Okay. So
we mentioned Snoke a couple times,
yes.
And that's another one of the big theories that came out after.
Oh my goodness! Legends.
And there are as many theories on the internet about who Snoke is as there are clone troopers during the Clone Wars.
Yes. Yeah.
They're multiplying.
Yes. I kid you not, like 5 minutes before we started this panel, Joey was just showing me the slides and showing me some of the theories.
That?
And I was like, there are some that I had never even heard of before.
Yeah, so let's go. I know, this is just what happens, by the way, if you type in Snoke on image search on Google. You will see one of these is Snoke Tarkin? Ooh, what if he escaped the Death Star at the last minute and he got half of his face blown off or something, and then, I don't know.
Okay. And never went back to Palpatine.
Yeah, I don't know. And his voice changed completely. And okay. All right. Or maybe if you're a fan of the cartoon series Rebels, maybe it's the Grand Inquisitor.
Who got blowed up.
Who got blowed up real good.
Yep. As did Tarkin, so we're kind of seeing it.
Yeah, we're seeing a thing. So apparently it'll get blown up.
You fall into the reactor of an Imperial superweapon, it explodes, you might become Snoke.
Yes. Or perhaps somehow Anakin Skywalker's body... guys, there's a lot of weird stuff out there. I don't know what to tell you. But perhaps one of the most, and this is a theory that was going around quite a bit, was that Snoke is truly Darth Plagueis. Whoa, okay, no, hang on, come back.
Jason hates that theory, but we're going to talk about it anyway. Just out of curiosity, does anyone in here think that Supreme Leader Snoke is Darth Plagueis?
So you've got a couple back there.
Oh, more
you. I am so glad that most of you are so sane.
No.
Most of them are probably just afraid to raise their hands because they saw you pretend to pull up the table and walk out of the room.
So the theory right there of being Snoke. Now, we had mentioned this after probably our second or third viewing to Jason right here. Like, hey, Jason, did you hear the theory that Snoke might be Plagueis? And he's like, what? What?
What?
You're like, no, that's a theory. Who said that?
So Jason, horrible idea.
So Jason, I want you to, as calmly as possible, express to us why, in your opinion, this is a bad idea.
Okay, thank you. Two primary reasons. One, Snoke seems absolutely terrified of the fact that Luke Skywalker could be coming back. If you were Darth Plagueis, survived being killed by Palpatine, survived being, not found by the Galactic Empire, and then rose to prominence with a Galactic Empire, clone of a force, in the First Order, I don't think you would be terrified of Luke Skywalker. I think if you survived all of that, you would not be scared that Luke could return to the galaxy. You'd be like, Luke Skywalker, Schmook Skywalker, who cares? I've survived worse. Second, and probably my most hated reason as to why this is not correct, if he is Snoke, that completely undermines the power of Palpatine in the Clone Wars. Because he says, the apprentice killed his master in his sleep. It's ironic, you could save others from death, but not himself. And if Palpatine truly believed that he had killed Plagueis, and then, lo and behold, Plagueis comes back under a different name, you would start questioning whether or not Palpatine was really as powerful as he was. And if you can single-handedly take down the entire Republic and the Jedi Order without so much as raising a finger until the last moment, I don't see him not being correct in the fact that he killed his master. And I'm a huge fan of Palpatine. I think he's the best villain in Star Wars. That's my opinion. So anything that takes away from Palpatine, I'm automatically going to like resist with Force Lightning and unlimited power! You know, that sort of thing. So I may be slightly biased, but I believe my points are valid. Yes.
Okay, now let me give counterpoints and try not to force choke me here.
Okay.
And I'm not like a... diehard like believer in this theory. I don't know how it's going to go one way or the other, but I just think it's a cool thing to speculate about. I think of all the characters we've known so far, like if Snoke is, you know, if there's going to be a surprise reveal there, if he turns out to be some character we know we've met before or heard of before, it's going to be Plagueis. But he also could just turn out to be a completely different character. But I just like talking about this and discussing it. So let me defend against Jason's points there. As far as him being afraid of Luke Skywalker, like if Plagueis did survive and come back, then sure, that would make him more powerful than Palpatine. But Palpatine still overthrew had the entire galaxy ruled with an iron fist. And he and Vader were afraid of Luke as a kid. You know, he was like this young rebel that blew up the Death Star. Like, he barely even knows what the Jedi are. But if he becomes a Jedi, like, he could destroy us. We need to either turn him to the dark side or destroy him. So even if Snoke is more powerful than Palpatine was, now that Luke is a full-fledged Jedi Master, heck yeah, I would be scared of that guy coming back. Like, not terrified necessarily, but it'd be like, this guy could become an issue. Like, for my seal-proof plans of galactic dominance, we need to make sure this guy doesn't come back into the picture, because if he doesn't completely overthrow us, he'll at least be a thorn in our side, and we just don't want to deal with that. And then as far as him, you know, if he did survive, if that would, like, weaken Palpatine's character or something, I don't necessarily think it would lessen him that much. I think it would more serve to prove that Plagueis is that powerful. Because you see what Palpatine...
He's not.
No, you see what Palpatine did, like, just as you were saying, you see what he did during the Clone Wars, you know, manipulating the political events of the entire galaxy and, you know, completely coming out of left field. Like, nobody saw it coming when he was just like, hey, by the way, guys, I'm a Sith Lord. I've got the whole Senate behind me. I can call you out as traitors. And
he wouldn't know that his master was still alive?
Yes, but he had a blind spot.
Exactly.
Darth Vader. He didn't even sense his own apprentice was about to kill him.
Exactly. We know because we've heard from Yoda and others that the dark side, you know, is quicker, easier, more seductive. It leads to, you know, arrogance. And I mean, same as when Anakin, Anakin and Obi-Wan had their final duel. Anakin maybe could have beaten Obi-Wan if he had, you know, the patience and the tenacity and had just held out. Obviously, he had a lot of anger and raw strength and whatever. But when Obi-Wan's like, hey, I've got the high ground, you can't beat me. And Anakin's like, yeah, whatever, sure I can. And tries to flip over him. And Obi-Wan's like, nope. We know that the dark side and all that power and arrogance can occasionally lead people to make an occasional mistake or, you know, have a blind spot or slip up. So I don't think it's completely out of the realm of possibility that Palpatine could believe he had killed Plagueis, especially because, you know, maybe we know that Plagueis spent his whole life, his whole career as a Sith, devoted to trying to prevent death and learn the path to immortality.
Well, let's talk about that real quick here. And we're going to go...
I have so much more to say.
But we're going to...
The rest of the panel to finish.
Exactly.
So.
And we're going to take... I'm just going to point out a couple more things about Snoke real quick from Pablo Hidalgo. But if you have any quick comments or questions about The Force Awakens before we move on to Rogue One, feel free to go over to the mic right there and we'll take any comments or questions that you may have. So Pablo Hidalgo from the Lucasfilm Story Group was asked on Twitter, my real question to put to rest is, did Plagueis' spirit survive physical death through the dark side? And Pablo Hidalgo from Lucasfilm says, he was said to possess the ability to keep loved ones from dying, not himself. His apprentice killed him.
But people weren't satisfied
with
that answer.
They said, Pablo, are you saying that Sidious said Plagueis is dead? Or are you saying he's actually dead? And he says, Sidious killed Plagueis, ascending to master, as is the way of the Sith.
But they were still weren't satisfied.
And then they said, you didn't answer the question. Is he actually dead, or does Sidious think he's dead? He says, I said Sidious killed Plagueis. He killed him. Killed, as in to kill. Like, there was a killing.
Thank you, Pablo Hidalgo.
Personally, no. That might be a mic drop, or it might just sit again. There's still,
or he might just be regurgitating what was already said in the movie.
Now, but in my opinion, this is just my two cents right here. I personally think that there is a mystery to Snoke, but it's not necessarily, is he Plagueis? It's quite frankly to me, it's, what the heck happened to this guy? He looks messed up, and why is he scared of Luke? And Entertainment Weekly recently had an interview with Andy Serkis, and they essentially said it kind of turns out that Snoke is most likely just Snoke. And
what?
That he's his own enigmatic character. He knows about the events of the previous movies, but most likely yada, yada, yada. So that's up on Entertainment Weekly from January, yeah. I believe, if you want to.
But then if you actually read Andy Serkis' quote in that article, he doesn't say one way or the other where Snoke came from. This is the reason why I love discussing this theory and why it just won't go away. Because everybody seems to be just a little dodgy about it. Like even in those tweets from Pablo Hidalgo, obviously he's trying to throw people off the scent. He's saying Plagueis was killed, but he doesn't say like
how is Plagueis killing? There was killing. He's dead.
Because that's exactly what he already said in the movie.
But how is that dodgy?
Because that's what Palpatine already said. I don't know. Again, not that I'm like gonna live or die by this, but I just like I like poking holes in Jason's.
Oh yeah, he just likes poking.
His Palpatine defense.
So it looks like we have a question right there. So yes, sir.
But isn't
oh no, right now
the mic. Sorry.
You have the quorum here. You have a microphone. Go ahead, sir.
So I was wondering, the island that she finds Luke on, is that on Tython?
It's Aktu, I believe, is the name of the planet.
Yeah.
Which sounds like Aktu. Yeah. But Aktu is
A-H-C-T-O.
Yeah. Of the planet.
Now, I will say
that. That's kind of weird because I thought they said that's where the Jedi started.
Yeah,
in the old expanded universe.
That's from the Old Republic video games and storyline and stuff, which is not officially canon. I personally, I mean, when I first saw that, I was like, man, I thought that would be really cool if that was Tython, because I'm a huge fan of the Knights of the Old Republic games and stuff myself. So I like that, all that old lore and everything. But as far as we know, that's not, I mean, we do know it's called Achto or something like that. So it may be a situation where they took the same planet and renamed it, because they've done that before with Korriban and Moriband in the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
But,
so they can still pull from Legends.
But also in the video game, Tython doesn't have that much water, from what I remember. So, probably not.
Next.
So I feel like it's no secret that Force Awakens is pretty similar to A New Hope. It's giant death planet, we gotta get rid of that. Do you think the future movies are just gonna kind of do the same thing, like kind of rehash 5 and 6? Do you think the directors will try and mix it up a lot more?
The Force Awakens was definitely, it was, I called it kind of like leaving kind of a greatest hits of Star Wars, which I appreciated. I don't see Starkiller Base as just another Death Star. If anything, it's much, much more. It destroys entire systems in a much cooler way than the Sun Crusher did and the books and everything. Or it was the Darksaber. They had a bunch of them. Anyway,
there was a super weapon of the week going on in the novels
but
for
this,
a while.
So that's nothing compared to the old EU. Read the old EU to find a lot of the little Death Stars. But I think in the new films coming forward, I know that for Episode 8 going forward, that one of the Disney executives at some point said that Trevorrow is going to do something weird. And I think by weird, he meant kind of different and interesting. Because Star Wars can be very weird. That was one of the criticisms. I think some of it has some valid stuff, but at the same time, it was The Force Awakens is kind of a recentering and also a reintroduction to many people about Star Wars. We have many young people in here that, you know, they may have been introduced to Star Wars for the first time with The Force Awakens, and I think that's awesome.
J.J. Abrams even said that in an interview, too.
Yeah, it was intentional.
He was kind of addressing criticisms that it was too similar, and he said that was kind of intentional because, you know, because the prequels were so divisive, they wanted to kind of draw people back to the core of what they felt like was real Star Wars, I guess.
And well, if you look at Star Wars as a whole anyways, it's sort of rhyming beats anyways. You know, you get with Anakin and Luke, you get the hero's journey, and the only thing that's different is Luke continues on the hero's journey and Anakin fails in that journey. So they start on the same journey and then it's, you know, they split. But there's rhyming beats with Star Wars, and I'm sort of expecting something that seems similar to A New Hope anyways, going into it. Just because of the nature of the trilogies and all that stuff. So I think that, well, yeah, it's similar. It wasn't something that I felt was overdone. Mm-hmm.
So. But to answer the other part of your question, I do think and hope that they'll do some more new original stuff with Episode 8 and 9 going forward.
And I think it would make more sense to sort of deviate from the traditional Star Wars playbook, if you will, going forward into the new movies, Episode 8 and 9, mm-hmm. rather than Episode 7. So.
Right. Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Do you think Jar Jar Binks is a Sith Lord?
No!
Yeah, I love Jar Jar.
Up around Jason other than Palpatine, yeah. It's Jar Jar.
I let me put it this way. Jar Jar gets a lot of flack, and I understand Jar Jar. I don't laugh at everything Jar Jar does, but I understand his purpose in the overall scheme of it. And if you want to talk about that after the panel, I'll be more than happy to talk Jar Jar with you, but no, he's not a Sith Lord. Go away. Okay, next question.
I arrived here a little late, so I'm sorry if I'm touching this topic already.
Mm-hmm. We talked about it.
You talked a bit about Plagueis and Snoke and all that. What about the other guy, Kylo Ren? Now, what do you think the future holds for him? Do you think that it's a possibility he'll go to the good side, or?
Well, it's a due to the nature of Star Wars and the fact that we've seen Anakin come back to the light after murdering younglings.
Right.
It's possible. I don't think it's likely. Seemings is how he's trying so hard to not be seduced by the light. Mm-hmm. It's distinctly possible, and if anyone could do it, it would be Rey, not Luke. Luke would have the opposite effect, I think, on Kylo. So we will have to see the development of Rey in conjunction with Kylo to see if that's a possibility going forward, I think. But I don't... I think there may be an attempt to bring him back to the light, but I don't think it will succeed.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's kind of up in the air, because I think there's still something to play. I think Kylo is still going to be a complex character going forward. I think the things that Han said to him about Snoke just manipulating you and using you for your power, I think those are true. So, maybe we'll see Kylo turn against Snoke at some point. Maybe we'll see him try to be redeemed. But I also think they made a pretty strong point in this movie of showing him being so conflicted between the dark side and the light, and then at the end of the movie, when he seems like he might be coming back to the light side, and asks, you know, his dad, Han Solo, he's like, you know, I'm being torn apart, I know what I need to do, but I don't know if I'm strong enough, like, can you help me? And you think he might be coming back.
And then patricide.
And then he stabs him and kills him instead. Like, I think that was a pretty strong, like, okay, he was on the fence, and now he's on the dark side. I hope that he doesn't just suddenly become like this evil mustache twirling villain for the rest of the trilogy. I definitely like the depth and complexity of that character, and I think it's still there. But I think there's probably less chance of him being redeemed than there was for like Anakin.
Okay, well, for those of you, yes, one more, and then we're gonna, and then we'll have more time for questions right at the end of this. But we're gonna go to
we're gonna have to get moving. Sorry,
yes.
Guys.
So as for Kylo Ren, I think he actually is a very complex character, and I'm not sure what son do you think Poe claims to, because his family legacy is made up of both Jedi and Sith.
Well, he's like I mentioned earlier, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see when it comes to that, really. Because really, who knows? I mean, he could go either way. I would love to see redemption. Is that possible?
And the family member that he's idolizing at this point is Darth Vader.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, he's got his mask
and all that stuff.
And
that's a whole other thing about, like, with this show, you know, finding out that his grandfather, essentially, a lot of the EU, or I call it EU, a lot of the books and the stuff going out right now is that Snoke taught Kylo that Vader's downfall was his lightness, the light side that came back within him, that the Empire would essentially still be around if Vader had just let the Emperor kill Luke right there, and that was a weakness that Vader had, not a strength, was that lightness inside of him. So we'll have to see. It'll just be interesting.
Yeah. I will say, if Kylo does get redeemed, I mean, I don't want it to be just like a straight copy of, like, oh, Luke redeemed Vader and now Rey's redeeming Kylo or whatever, but I think one thing we haven't really seen before in Star Wars, at least not in the movies, we've seen this like in video games and stuff, is a character get redeemed from the dark side and then continue their story after that. You know, if we had Kylo Ren be the main villain of this trilogy, at the end of it have him be redeemed, and then like 10 years later they do episode 10, 11, 12 where he's like the Luke Skywalker Jedi mentor figure, and see how he sort of deals with obviously his dark past and how he tries to, you know, redeem himself from that by training new Jedi. So I think that could be cool.
Well, we're going to go to show as we transition over.
Coming soon to theaters near you.
Which has been in the news quite often in the internet, but we're going to show the trailer real quick if the audio goes.
Has anybody not seen this trailer?
Say something correctly. Sorry. Forgery of Imperial documents, possession of stolen property, aggravated assault, resisting arrest.
On your own from the age of 15, reckless, aggressive, and undisciplined. This is a rebellion, isn't it? I rebel. We have a mission for you. A major weapons test is imminent. We need to know what it is and how to destroy it.
Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Familiar. You would be right. That's the opening crawl from episode 4, A New Hope.
Yeah. But that's basically what the film's about. It's about getting the Death Star plans. It's and Rogue One has been in the news lately when it comes to online stuff. Number one, a few weeks ago, a bunch of pages, essentially preview pages for an upcoming guide to Rogue One came out. And we're not going to go over all those, you know, specific details and stuff that much. But they have, like, names of characters, which some of them are way too hard for me to pronounce right now with an actual movie to understand how to pronounce it, so I'm not going to try. And a lot of the character descriptions say, so-and-so helps to steal the Death Star plans, and this other person is ready to fight with the Rebellion, and so all the, it's not very spoilery, but we do have, like, some new ships, or a new ship, I should say, perhaps some new TIE fighters as well, and the Imperials, the troopers and stuff that we have a shore trooper, which has been confirmed, death troopers, and those AT-ATs or AT-ATs that you saw are actually called AT-ACTs, which stand for All-Terrain Armored Cargo Transport. So they look a little bit different, and so perhaps they, maybe their armor is not too strong for blasters. You know, maybe they don't need to wrap around their legs. Maybe their cargo, maybe their cargo is like a bunch of thermal detonators, and they just like blow up, and then it's all like that. So now,
Well, real quick before we get into the reshoot thing, impressions, Rogue One. You excited?
I mean, I have to be honest. I'm one of those people that's like, okay, cool, Rogue One. When do we get to see Episode 8? I want to see more of Rey and Kylo Ren and all those guys. But at the same time, like, more stormtroopers and Imperial walkers, and if we get to see Darth Vader in this movie, like, heck yeah, obviously I'm going to go see it probably multiple times, and I hope it's awesome. So you can never really have too much Star Wars as long as it's done well, in my opinion. So, and those new TIE fighters that you can barely kind of see up in the corner there, but I love those things.
Yeah, they kind of look like kind of like a mix between a TIE bomber, but more like a interceptor, kind of like half the wing or something.
Yeah, it's almost like, it's like a TIE fighter with the wing design of like a Jedi starfighter.
Yeah, or like a Sith fighter or something like that, yeah. And of course they have like a ship right there on the Rebel side. I believe there, some people are saying it's the U-Wing or something like that. I don't know, it's pretty cool. And they have some aliens that one of them looks like either he's from the movie Critters or possibly escaped from the set of Doctor Who. I'm not exactly sure. But he's there, and they look cool. And of course, Death Troopers. I mean, some people hear Death Troopers and they think of that really cool, scary Legends book of Death Troopers, which was about zombies and stuff. And I've actually heard some folks, Mark Hurlman on Star Wars Report, say maybe they're actually dead people in there. I don't know. But there's cool, you know, stormtroopers in black armor. A lot of cool stuff to look for. But,
and for those of you who are, just to clarify, this is not taking place after Episode 7. This is a standalone movie that takes place right before A New Hope.
Yeah, if anything, right, this is episode 3.5.
And as far as we know, there are no Bothans that died because in this movie, because that's the second Death Star that died.
Right? Oh.
Yeah, I'm hoping that maybe we'll see some Bothans, but this isn't the one where Mon Mothma's crying about. So, anyway.
Even though
she is in the movie, though. That is awesome to see her, which, by the way, that actress was going to be Mon Mothma in Episode 3, but her part was cut. So it's nice to see that they actually went back to her. Very cool. But one of the things that has been talked about with Rogue One just this week has really been going on is reshoots and the
panic about Rogue One.
About this. Now, before we can talk about this, the reshoots right here were scheduled already to happen in July. Now, the report essentially says that, quote-unquote, industry insiders...
Because you can always trust industry insiders.
Yes, say that the feel of the film was not akin to The Force Awakens. And that, I mean, you can tell from the trailer right there itself, it has a kind of a darker feel to it. And that perhaps they may need to go in and retweak certain parts of this film to make it feel a little bit more like A New Hope. To kind of bring a little bit more fun into it, this and that. And according to some reports, including one from MakingStarWars.net, they said that they're actually going to be essentially reshooting perhaps up to 40% of the film. Now, you may say, like, oh my god! Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Number one, this movie is not coming. If this movie is coming out in September, then yeah, maybe there'd be some time to panic. But it's really, this is. The general vibe going on from all these reports that the industry insiders say, yeah, we're reshooting stuff, but at the same time, they're also saying, but no one's panicking at Lucasfilm or Disney. Everyone's saying, okay, we're just going to tweak some things here. We're going to reshoot some scenes. This happens in almost any movie that you
have. Reshoots are scheduled into filming schedules. All movies, because you start getting into the film, the editing process, and things don't quite line up the way you want it, or you need an extra shot for such and such scene because they missed getting something, or, you know, things like that. Or they just think, well, this scene didn't turn out quite the way we wanted it to, so we'll tweak it and refilm it this other way. So this is normal. So all these articles that you may see going around the internet saying that everybody is panicking about Rogue One reshoots, no. The only reason it's getting any attention is because it's Star Wars. All movies have reshoots, so I wouldn't panic.
It's great clickbait material right
now. Yeah, and even if it is a panic, it's like, well, okay, at least they've still got time to fix it. So, you know, if we get to November and it's like, oh, first test screenings of Rogue One are horrible, well, then I'll be worried. But, you know, right now, I'm like, these are probably just normal reshoots, and if there is a problem and, you know, the executives really aren't happy with it, I'm like, okay, well, good, you got like 4 weeks to shoot new stuff and fix it. So,
I'll just wait for episode 8 to come out, and then, you know, maybe. And speaking of episode 8, let's go ahead and just get right into that right now, because we still got, I'm telling you guys, we have a lot of Star Wars coming out. And before you know it, it'll be time to see episode 8, which will be coming out sooner than we know. Let's see, it's going to be December of 2017. My goodness, so it's coming right up.
Before year and a half.
Yeah, so we're going to go over a few things about episode 8. We're going to try not to get too spoilery or anything.
Good, because I don't.
Yeah, we have a few like little set photos, but we don't. I mean, quite frankly, I haven't read any leaked scripts or anything like that. And quite frankly, a lot of the quote-unquote leaked scripts, you're going to see a lot of them. Okay, because right before episode 7 came out, it would be very hard to for a fan base, a fan to write up a leaked script because we didn't know anything. They kept it so secret. But now, of course, we know who the major characters are, and it would be easy enough to kind of guess where some of these characters might be going.
Right.
So I would expect to see a lot of, you know, fan-based
leaked scripts
coming out. So we're just going to go over what we know for sure, or at least what we kind of assume is going to be going on. Number one is that this is going to be one of the perhaps the first Star Wars movie that essentially picks up right from that moment of handing over the lightsaber to Luke, which kind of throws some people off, because we're used to Star Wars movies taking place at about a year to three, or possibly with the Phantom Menace, was it like 10?
10 between Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones.
So, so we're used to having gaps of time. But in this case, they've already released some of the filming of episode 8, and they showed this online of them shooting this scene all over again with a whole new crew and everything. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Another thing is that so we're going to be looking at Rey and Luke will actually have lines this time.
He will actually talk.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to hear Luke's voice. But anyway, but Luke might look. This isn't you know, official concept art or anything. There was a kind of makingstarwars.net has their resources. They never release the concept art that they are given. They do describe it, however. So they put out a description of some concept art that they saw about Rey and Luke, and this is essentially what the concept art kind of looked like. Again, Rey...
It's someone's interpretation of the description of concept art.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's kind of the game of telephone right here. But you can kind of see that Rey basically looks, you know, very similar to how she looked in Episode 7. Luke, perhaps, is looking a little bit more Count Dooku-ish right there, which I think would be cool. I mean, he has his... I love his robot hand right there being shown. And there are some... I won't really get into it, but if you want to check it out online, there's some really cool kind of possible concept fight scenes going on between Kylo, Rey, the Knights of Ren, and stuff like that on the island.
Now, just to throw this out there, concept art does not mean it makes it into the movie.
That is true.
They make 10 times more concept art than anything that gets selected for the movie. So what making Star Wars may be getting could be discarded concept art. And there was some of that that got leaked that didn't make it into the movie for Episode 7, so...
Probably one with... I think there was one with, like, Captain Phasma with a lightsaber.
Yeah, stuff. Things
but
like
there
that.
There was a lot of concept art. There were some leaked concept art images for 7 that were in the movie, like Vader's melted helmet and
right.
Rey with a lightsaber and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, you can
stuff.
See the art of The Force Awakens. Really awesome book if you want to see just all different ways that The Force Awakens could have gone. Check out that book because you'll be able to see some really fantastic art. And some of the just how the script process works. Some of the other things that we know are going to be in the film are, Prince William and Prince Harry visited the set recently, and they hopped in an A-wing, and of course Mark Hamill was there, and I think they even dressed him up as a. There's even a shot of them dressed up as stormtroopers, so who knows? We
could get Prince William and Prince Harry as stormtroopers.
Yeah, I think they did confirm that they have, like, small cameos in the
yeah,
film. Which is probably just them as stormtroopers in the background. It won't be like, hey, look, there's that one scene with the royal guys.
Hello. You must bow before me. I'm a stormtrooper.
Like the fact that Daniel Craig was 00.
Yes, Daniel Craig was TK007 or something right there. In case you didn't know. In case you didn't know, that was the scene where Rey is being...
She mind tricks the stormtrooper? That's James Bond.
Yeah, she mind tricked James Bond. But usually he has that effect on women, not the other way around. and here's some other stuff. We have sets in Dubrovnik, I believe is how you pronounce it. That's where it is.
Dubrovnik.
And you could just walk by Dubrovnik and they would have these
that's
sets.
That's in, what country is that? Croatia?
Croatia.
It's in Croatia.
It's in the country of Europe. But they also have some aliens, one of which here, this guy is actually, was in Maz Kanata's castle, actually. And then
he looks like a Silurian.
And that Dr. guy Peter. Looks like, I don't know, Beetlejuice.
What
he looks
the
like,
heck
he
is that?
He looks like the
if he have a chain.
He looks like somebody from the Critters movies from the 80s, which, if you know what I'm talking about.
With his chain that hangs low?
Yeah, he's a pimp, man.
Okay, then.
So, and we also have a cool set picture here showing the Falcon. One could assume that this might be Jakku, or not Jakku, excuse me, they're not Jakku. Why would everyone go back to Jakku? this is the Aktu or Akto or whatever, perhaps planet where the Jedi sets there, and some sort of giant tree. Perhaps this is one of those early Jedi temples that Luke was searching for right there in Episode 7. Perhaps.
Perhaps.
I think that's probably a different part of the planet, though, than, you know,
the island.
It's not where Rey first found Luke, unless that tree just suddenly, like, grows up.
That would be a really bad, that would be a horrible planet if there was only one small island on the giant
ocean.
That's
true.
I would hope there'd be other islands, perhaps, on that.
That'd be some prime real estate right there.
Yeah.
You basically buy the whole planet.
Wow. But some really cool stuff. I don't know, Kyle, Jason, what are you guys looking forward to in Episode 8?
Everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's so far away right now, and there's so much that could happen. And I'm spoiler phobic. So I will not. MakingStarWars.net is a blocked site on my computer. I do not visit it. So I stay away from spoilers, so obviously I'm going to be spoiled by some things because that's just the internet. But I don't know, and that's the thing, is there's a lot of ways that it could go, and I'm excited about that, but the fact that I don't know and the fact that I'm looking to be surprised by what comes next is what really excites me. And the fact that I love a lot of the characters and I want to see where they go. I love Rey, I love Kylo, Poe is great. Poe Dameron is one of the coolest characters.
It's an awesome
in
comic series right now, too, if you want to check that out. It's a good comic book series.
Yeah.
Poe Dameron is really good. Kyle?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of echo a lot of what Jason said. Like, I mean, obviously there's stuff from The Force Awakens that I'm looking forward to seeing more of. I want to see Luke training Rey as a Jedi. I want to see Kylo Ren learning more of the dark side from Snoke, because that's something else that we ended off Episode 7 with Snoke saying, bring Kylo Ren to me, it's time to complete his training. So what more is he going to learn, and how much more powerful is he going to become? I want to see more of the Knights of Ren. I want to see Poe Dameron flying around in an X-Wing blowing up more stuff, because he's awesome. But I also just look forward to, you know, the surprises, the new stuff that we don't know is coming. And also, I was just going to say, with the stuff that we talked about earlier, as far like the mysteries that we're wanting to be revealed, who Rey's parents are, who Snoke is, and all that.
In fact,
stuff.
That's what I'm most excited about, the finding out who Snoke is, so that we can put all these Plagueis theories to rest. Thank you.
See, here's the thing, though. I think that regardless of the answers, even if Snoke is Plagueis, even if Luke is Rey's dad, I think, you know, just because we have so little to go on right now, I think the real answers to those questions, or the way that those answers are revealed, I think is still going to be a surprise to us, like, regardless of, you know, who saw it coming or not. So I'm really interested to see, you know, not only, like, finding out those answers, but how they come about in the story and how all that's revealed. So that's probably what I'm most looking forward to.
What about Finn?
Finn too. Well, and I'm interested to see sort of what his role is going to be going forward, because, you know, in The Force Awakens, obviously, like, he gets the lightsaber first, and his whole story arc is about trying to, you know, get away from the First Order and being, you know, the stormtrooper who refuses to kill and decides he's going to fight for the good guys. Well,
I
now
want to see Finn and Captain Phasma showdown.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah. See, now we know that Finn is, I mean, his story arc is mostly complete in that sense. So now I'm interested to see, like, where they go from here. Is he going to, you know, just become a fighter for the Resistance? Is he still going to be on the run from the First Order and Phasma? And are they going to, you know, keep hunting down this rogue stormtrooper? So
there's just been another Wedge Antilles.
Yeah. I hope not.
We do know that Finn will. Oh, sorry, Captain Phasma will be back. She got a trash compactor somehow.
So maybe she'll have more than 12 seconds of screen time.
Maybe. Who knows? So we're going to wrap things up.
One other thing that is confirmed, other than Episode 9, is
Han Solo standalone movie, and I don't think they actually have officially announced that this gentleman is going to be our new Han Solo, but it's one of those things that everyone knows, but they haven't released
it. Yeah, it's like Lucasfilm hasn't officially confirmed it yet, but it's being reported by, like,
Variety.
Legit movie news sites and not just the usual rumors.
So it looks like Alden Ehrenreich is going to be our new Han Solo. This movie is written by Lawrence Kasdan, who, of course, has written many of our Star Wars films, and his son, John Kasdan. And it's going to be directed by Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, who not only directed the Lego movie, but also the 21 Jump Street movies and stuff like that. They're a good combo. Obviously, those two directors, and Lawrence Kasdan has a great way of writing comedic kind of stuff. One would hope that this might be a good, fun movie. Who exactly knows? Here's a quick little mashup of what he might actually look like. But, you know, it's going to... Some people are like, well, he doesn't look like Harrison Ford. To me, we've already had two young actors playing a young Indiana Jones. And honestly, they did a great job. And we didn't think, like, they don't look like Harrison Ford. But quite frankly, if they can do a good job in it, that's all it is for me. Now, apparently, Alden Ehrenreich was actually kind of discovered by Steven Spielberg when he performed something at a bat mitzvah. So for me, that's good enough. If Steven Spielberg likes this guy, then I'm cool with him too.
I will wait and see.
Yes.
I mean, this movie won't come out until, you know, 2037.
It's 2018.
Excuse me. But, you know, we've still got quite a ways before this movie comes out.
Yeah, and I'm just excited to see Chewie in that movie because I'm 6'8", so I have a kinship with Woody.
Yes. And, of course, the future of Star Wars. We have Episode 9 coming out after that, and that's going to be directed by Ryan Trevorrow, who directed Colin Trevorrow, who did Jurassic World, and we could maybe have a Boba Fett story, perhaps. I think Josh Trank, before he had a mental breakdown, was going to actually direct perhaps the Boba Fett film.
I think Boba Fett may be a villain in a console.
Yeah, they might have combined. That's kind of like up in the air. They may have actually put that into the Han Solo movie and kind of done that. And of course, Ewan McGregor really is kind of pushing for an Obi-Wan Kenobi film, which I would really like that.
Yes! Obi-Wan
Kenobi. Or maybe in a movie. Like I could see a trilogy of Obi-Wan movies. But
please.
Anyway.
I love...
But, and of course, Ewan McGregor, when all is said and done, we might actually see a whole new Star Wars trilogy after this. I mean...
Who knows?
We could see episodes 10, 11, and 12. The fact is, Disney owes this, and they want to make money, and I want to give them my money.
And considering the fact that I have a Star Wars podcast, I hope they keep making these things so I have more things to talk about.
So let's just talk about your podcast real quick before we jump out the door. Jason, Kyle, tell us about your Star Wars podcast.
So I'm one of the co-hosts of the Wampa's Lair podcast. We're a discussion-based podcast, but we don't really follow the news very closely. If there's something big that comes out, like the Rogue One trailer, we'll do an episode devoted to that, but we're more topic-based. So one of the things we've discussed more recently is we took two episodes to discuss the closing musical tracks for each of the films. So that was a lot of fun, and I love John Williams, so, you know, please, John Williams, stay alive through episode 9 so we can have you. But if you do want a podcast that focuses on all the latest news, talk to this guy.
Yeah, so my podcast is called Star Wars The Saga Continues, and we basically do what we just did up here. We discuss the new movies. I started the podcast on the day that it was announced that episode 7 was going to be coming out. We talk about the new movies. We also talk about some of the other stuff, like me and my co-host Tim, we're both huge fans of the Star Wars Battlefront video games. So we'll talk about news about that, and a little bit about Star Wars Rebels and books and stuff that are coming out. So it's mostly news and focused on like the new Star Wars stuff that's coming up, but primarily on the movies. Except sometimes we'll go on even longer tangents and discussions and stuff, and go for like 3 hours.
Their average podcast length is 3 hours.
Yeah, it's probably more like 2.5, but we've had a lot of 3 hour ones. We don't try to be like one of the high top tier professional, like getting all the breaking news and having guests and stuff on. We just like talk about the news that other people have reported and then give our own theories and give our own spin on it. So we try to have fun with it and keep it kind of casual and. Like I said, it's a lot of like what we were just doing up here. So,
and if you are interested, I do have business cards.
I don't because I was too busy finishing this.
Yeah.
And get to go to Sables or whatever.
And of course, there's the animated cast, as I mentioned before. That's nothing Star Wars. Well, we still do talk about Star Wars, ironically, on there. But it's about the Animaniacs if you're interested in that kind of stuff. And tomorrow, we'll be having the Star Wars Trivia Challenge right here in this room. So if you...
At 10:30 a.m.
10:30 a.m. So if you want to help participate in that, you can sign up. The link is on your program that you can kind of just type in that little tiny URL that's on there and get signed up, and you'll get into the bracket for tomorrow, and we'll have some fun. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go wrap things up. If you have any questions, come on up and talk to us, and we'll be free to happy to talk to you. But thank you very much.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of the convention.
Okay, everybody, and thank you very much for listening to that panel audio. Hopefully, it all turned out well with the audio. When I listened back to it, it was actually very good for panel audio. That's because I get to sit my recorder right on the table in the middle of us, and it works great. But I had a blast this year, doing that panel. And I'm looking forward to next year as well, with Phoenix Comic Con, and maybe Carl and I might be able to do something panel-wise for a celebration in Orlando. We'll see what happens with that. That might be fun. Carl and I will be back next week with a regularly scheduled episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. Be sure to weigh in on our current poll, which has yet to be posted on our social media, but it will be posted shortly after this episode hits. Our poll is, who is your favorite bounty hunter? Since we've been sort of doing irregularly scheduled episodes or irregular episodes these past couple weeks, we haven't posted that yet, but that will be out here shortly. So please weigh in on that. And if you want to get in contact with us any other way, you can do that facebook.com/Wampa's Lair podcast. Our Twitter account is twitter.com/Wampa's Lair or just at Wampa's Lair. You can also email us at Wampa's Lair podcast at gmail.com. And the email is actually the best place you can reach us if you're interested in doing one of our Tales of Valerians episodes. And if you're not sure what that's all about, check out our previous episode where we kick off the segment in what we hope will become a monthly segment with Joe Hogan as our guinea pig. So that will wrap up this episode of the Wampus Lair podcast. As I said, Carl and I will be back next week with a regularly scheduled episode. For Carl, I'm Jason, and we will see you next time here in the Wampus Lair.